welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
All right. Well, there is always no shortage of important things to talk about, as I'm sure you're all seeing in many other independent news stations out there today, from the Yellow Vests coverage that I'm sure we're going to get into, Venezuela's Maduro claiming that Bolton actually tried to assassinate him, Obamacare has been ruled unconstitutional, and now Russia has new rules of engagement for Syria that promise reciprocal attacks to any future attacks by the U.S. and Israel, which I think is probably the biggest story that I'm seeing today, because that kind of highlights what we're about to see come. But let's get into all of that today. But first, I want to touch on something that I thought was very important. Interestingly enough, my show from yesterday has probably got the lowest view count that I've seen in years on The Last American Vagabond. Barely over 1,000 views. Now, it could just be that people are tired of hearing about Yemen. Well, that's too bad, because I'm going to keep talking about Yemen, because it's likely the biggest thing in the world that's going on right now that affects both our domestic and our foreign policy. But that being said, I think it's more because that's specifically the farm bill concept in Yemen in general is being highly suppressed, in my opinion. Or it could just be people are getting tired of the show. Who ultimately knows? But I want to begin by pointing out yet another thing, which I called yesterday about this specific topic. Per Hussein al-Bukhaidi, who is on the ground in Yemen, who I just talked to this morning, strikes continue on Hodeidah as usual, nothing changed, as well as the Saudi UAE backed forces shelling on Hodeidah city didn't stop at all. Now, bear that in mind when we're seeing the talks about these positive steps with the peace talks in Sweden and Saudi Arabia and on, which, as I continue to point out, is definitely still a good thing. Not only is it drawing attention to the fact that something bad is happening there and we need to find a resolution to it, but just that it's happening in general shows us that we're progressing at least in some direction, whether it's false or otherwise. But the reality is, as he's reporting from the ground, still, at this very moment, we have Saudi airplanes using American-made bombs with support of the United States military bombing civilians in Hodeidah. That's a simple fact from the ground. And I'm hoping to get more from Hussein as it goes on, but our time difference right now is this is his sleep time. So he's not able to actually come on or do something, but I guarantee you we will have more. But this is an important concept to understand, that despite all of the talk, and this is why I think largely these kind of topics are being suppressed, is that despite the fact that they slip in this unconstitutional, illegal thing into the farm bill that allows them not to talk about it, they're allowing their allies to continue to murder civilians with your tax dollars and American-made bombs, even though they pretend to be conducting peace talks. That's something that really bothers me, and I hope we can spread that more, and I guarantee you there'll be more on this in the shows to come. So make sure and stay tuned for that. But in addition to that, another story that I want to touch on before I got into the main stories of today, somebody sent this video to me from Israeli News Live. U.S. soldiers leave canceled amid Russian-Ukrainian armed standoff. Now, this is important for a few reasons, as nothing ultimately, stuff is happening, but nothing has really happened yet. It's building up to something. And I just wanted to make sure you were aware of this. As he's reporting in Germany, hundreds of U.S. soldiers have their leave canceled. They were expecting to be leave to go see their families, but no, they're canceling it, meaning something's happening. And this is, of course, amid the Ukraine-Russian crisis that we've been talking about. Now, the Ukrainian military has begun a major offensive with battle tanks against the Donetsk people, I've heard different pronunciations in the airport, or what's left of it, he's reporting. At the same time, the Ukraine has claimed that Russia has moved its 100 Su-27 and 30s to Crimea and has apparently 5 subs on the coast. Now, we hear that Ukraine and the Russian forces have shelled each other near the Russian border of Mariupol in Ukraine. Now, this is an important story in general, but it's important, as he points out in the video, which he has about 11 links to his research, which is fantastic, which I hope you can check out for yourself in his video, that it's coming from both sides. We got Russia claiming Ukraine wants to seize areas around the Sea of Azov. Their attack army is already prepared and set up. Right, which I think is largely correct. But then we have Ukraine claiming Russia is the one that's preparing a massive against the Ukraine. So we're hearing it from both sides. Do I know for sure which is true? I don't. And we should question both. However, we do know that the U.S. did in fact carry out an illegal coup in the Ukraine in 2014, and that they make up all these lies about Crimea, even though the facts clearly show that they chose to leave, then chose to be annexed by Russia, all completely resounding support from them themselves. Now, this is where this all surrounds again. But now, regardless, they're claiming that Russia is the aggressor as always. And that could be true. But show some discernment, do your research, and this story, I guarantee you, this story is going to be developing. Now, both of those stories, Yemen and the Ukraine and Syria and everything else, is being completely eclipsed by a lot of things today. The Yellow Vest being one of them. Not that it's not important. You know I believe that the origins of the Yellow Vest are 100% organic. That's my opinion. I can't prove that, but I believe that. At the end of the day, though, it's important that you recognize there is a lot of very important things that are being put on the back burner. Yemen is just old news. Let's forget about the fact that they're basically creating a war situation with the Ukraine today. Thank you, Christopher Munson. I appreciate that. It's important to see this stuff. It's important to recognize the other things going on in the world and not just put them back because of whatever story they dangle in front of us. And that's what happens today. So moving on, let's get to the stories of today. There is definitely a lot of important things to talk about, and I'm really, really trying to keep these shows under 30 minutes because I know that people are pressed for time. So let's get into it. For the first story, in regard to the Yellow Vests. Interesting title, Bare Breasts Marianne's Face Off with French Police, Tear Gas, Pepper Spray Used on Protesters, Protesting Yellow Vests. Again, always the ridiculous concept that somehow it's okay to use tear gas on civilians on the street, but yet it's outlawed when it comes to wartime. How would that ever make sense? I have no idea. But this is definitely something to be aware of because this is increasing. Now, apparently, as they're reporting, just under 70,000 police have been mobilized across France in an effort to contain, they claim, some 33,000 plus estimated protesters, which they show is a much lower turnout than in previous weeks. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going away. Now, the Yellow Vest movement itself has, as they report again, spread to several countries across Europe, as well as Iraq, Israel, even Canada. Now, I would easily argue that a lot of those are real. Places like Iraq and Israel, I feel like that in a way makes sense. But we have to be very skeptical about whether these things are simply being co-opted and used, as they almost always are, and I can almost guarantee you are being done to some degree. So be very careful about people that are aggressive about how dare you talk about this movement that's so real, which again, I make very clear, I am 100% supportive of what they're doing there and how it began, because it's clear that focusing on what, you know, the gas tax, which became simply that the bankers are running our world, is a very important thing we should be talking about. But as I pointed out in recent shows, it's clearly being hijacked by Q and different movements to use for their agenda. Multiple different global charters of the Yellow Vest being put out with different claims. It's all over the place. So please be careful about this. But it's important to be aware of it and support what we can in regard to what we think is the real movement. Very dangerous situation. Now, less than 3,000 protesters apparently descended on Paris, specifically. And this is all happening today, compared to about 8,000 last week. Now, of those, apparently 114 people have been detained. I guess it's about 20%. Of the last week's figure. So everything seems to be going in a diminishing direction here. But again, pointing out, as Vanessa Bailey pointed out, and many people involved in the very movement themselves, it's obvious there are agent provocateurs carrying out violence to be able to give them an excuse to carry out what I would think are illegal actions on peaceful protesters. Not to say that there's not some that are doing bad things, but clearly they're wanting this to happen. That's why they lock up 114 people. Now, police have used tear gas, pepper spray, on protesters today and every other times. Many of them, they've shown the great reporting from people like We Are Changed recently, which they pointed out in a recent show, is widely the most watched reporting that's going on. Maybe, you know, with comparison to like maybe RT or something like that that does live feeds. But We Are Changed has hundreds of thousands of views for their coverage. And yet when you search for this or even search for We Are Changed Paris or Yellow Vests, nothing shows up. Big surprise. And it's all New York Times, Wall Street Journal, CNN, with, you know, half the views that they do. Clearly it's being tapered away, and that has to show us something. But the point is they're there, and they can show you that these people are being crowded in, being hit with tear gas, people that aren't reacting violently. And that also has to show you something. Now, they've used this tear gas and protesters on today, many of them not really reacting violently. Now, one person was reported hurt, and actually hit in the head, apparently, during one of these clashes. And this has been happening every time. Hands being blown off, all kinds of things. Now, a correspondent with the Russian state-owned media, RT, which I argue is probably one of the most, you know, level-headed reporting that we're seeing today, even though they clearly are supported with Russia and do lean a certain way, like they all do, they reported this man has suffered a severe injury and in the face, actually, and was taken to the hospital. Now, a group of half-naked women, as is being reported, were posing as Marianne, the goddess of liberty and the symbol of French patriotism, and apparently have faced off with the police in Paris, which I thought was very interesting. Now, what this ultimately means, by the way, those things have been fuzzed out, so, you know, there's if they try to censor us for this specifically, this is being aired all over the place, including mainstream media, because the certain areas have been fuzzed out. But interesting pictures, is it not? And you can see them here that this is not just, you know, this is real. They're standing there against these police. And that looks like paint. I'm not sure exactly what we're looking at there, but the idea here is that these Marianne is a national symbol, apparently, of the French Republic. A personification of liberty and reason, they claim. And a portrayal of the goddess of liberty. Now, as many people pointed out, this seems like a weird kind of a stunt, but maybe not. Maybe these are just real people that are standing up and trying to make a statement about what they really believe their country represents. That being said, who ultimately knows? But clearly, it's important to point out that there are people trying to hijack this movement. Now, 7 people in total have died, apparently, during the entirety of these demonstrations, which is pretty crazy. Which has gone from, you know, a fuel tax protest all the way to an anti-government protest or anti-banker protest. Now, again, many other people have pointed out the complete, you know, double standard when it comes to reporting on adversaries of the U.S. and the West and what they, you know, aggressively handle one person. And oh my God, it's a war crime where we're talking about the French literally killing people and beating them up and doing all kinds of terrible things, regardless of what the response from the other side. And there's not a peep about it. That also has to show us something. Now, reportedly, there's people that are commenting on this. It says, last time we were here for taxes, he says, now this is for institutions. We want more direct democracy coming from the ground, people talking about this. Shout to make themselves heard. Now it says museums have been closed, all these different things, lockdowns happening. Maybe that's the entire point. This is an important story to follow. And in regard to simply the fact that people are beginning to be fed up with all of the things going on around us that they're telling us, you know, it's okay, we're doing this for your safety while taking away your rights, while giving you more taxes, while shoving you into specific areas. Now, the point here is that they will and already are trying to take this and redirect it in a direction that suits their agenda. You know, the Lenin quote, right? The best way to beat the opposition is to take it to, you know, lead it yourself, or paraphrasing it, something like that. And that is incredibly important to recognize and is happening. Whether or not that's what we're looking at now, it is happening in the U.S. and other places. So please, please be wary of that. And moving on to the next story, something that I think is incredibly important that is coming out of Venezuela. As reported by Mint Press News, Venezuela's Maduro says John Bolton was behind his assassination attempt. Some pretty damning claims we're seeing here. Now, Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro gave a press conference to international media Wednesday, where he hailed the success of the Venezuelan municipal elections, which, of course, are being deemed, you know, unconstitutional, illegal, and, you know, not representative of democracy by all of the Western powers that back their agenda. Unless he's also saying this while accusing in front of everybody that the United States had plotted to kill him. Now, specifically, he pointed the finger at John Bolton. This is his national security advisor for Donald Trump, if those that may not possibly know that. Now, he said he was coordinating efforts to topple his government. Now, this is simple historical fact, by the way, that this has happened before. So it's not a leap of logic to think this is exactly what they're trying to do. Now, goes on to say, quote, Mr. John Bolton has been assigned once again as the chief. Again, once again is an important point there. As I continue to point out, Bolton's been involved with some pretty disgusting things all the way back to the Bush administration and before, such as Iraq, such as the Project for a New American Century, you know, the new Pearl Harbor event, which became 9/11, and on and on. So once again, he's been assigned as the chief of a plot to fill Venezuela with violence and to seek a foreign military intervention. Again, which is historical fact, undeniable that they have done that, tried to, multiple times. Now, he goes on to say, we have obtained almost 90% of the positions, local councilors, and the forces of the Great Patriotic Poll altogether have obtained 75% of the vote. This cannot be left aside. Now, the Great Patriotic Poll is the electoral alliance of Venezuelan political parties, showing you clearly that they have support of the people. Now, again, to reference back to their last election, the U.S. claimed was illegitimate. People like Jimmy Carter, and along with 30 other independent countries, have verified that their elections were completely legitimate, more so than basically any other election they've seen before. Now, you could say Jimmy Carter is a liar. You could say that 30 countries are all fake news, but that would be pretty ridiculous. Certainly possible, but it's clear when you have 30 countries versus one group with no evidence whatsoever, you know, the United States and whoever else, it's easy who to believe in that case. Now, he went on to accuse the United States of being behind the attempt on his life in August, the one we talked about in the past, where drones apparently zoomed in and tried to bomb him, very close to him, in fact, claiming that Washington continues to plot against him and his government. Now, Maduro said there's a plan, encouraged by John Bolton himself, to actually train mercenary forces that will execute, as he claims, false positive attacks against military forces on the border, basically false flags is what he's saying, to confuse the public opinion and justify an attack on Venezuela, which sounds pretty damn exact to what we've seen the U.S. do time and time again. Now, the Venezuelan president also warned against military provocations coming from Brazil at Venezuela's southern border. President-elect, I think Jair Bolsonaro's vice president, retired General Hamilton Muraro, believe I'm probably mispronouncing that, has previously stated that, quote, there will be a coup in Venezuela outright, and that Brazil would lead a force for peace. Of course, for peace. Now, all of this is important to understand. Could this all be fake? Of course. Why would we trust one or the other? You really shouldn't. You should be questioning both. But can we please get past this part where we reflexively dismiss any claim made by those who the U.S. deem liars? You know, verifiable liars of the past, such as Bolton, calling other leaders liars with no evidence whatsoever. Can anyone else see the contradiction there? We need to question both of them, but no longer can we simply dismiss these because we're like, oh, that's a dictator, they say. Meanwhile, we're trusting people who we can verifiably show through very recent history have lied to us repeatedly, and yet we trust them with no evidence whatsoever. There's a block there in people's minds that we need to get past. I can't say for sure whether he's telling the truth, but it's very clear. The history in Venezuela, we just talked about Nicaragua yesterday. I mean, Marines occupied Nicaragua for 20 years, and they put a dictator in place until they were able to take it back, and now they're fighting to take it back again, just like in Iran with Operation Ajax. Illegally occupied their country and put it in, overthrew the country until Iranians took it back, and now they hate them again because they're not under U.S. control. It's very clear what we can see through this history. So is this likely what's happening? I would say yes. But, as always, come to your own conclusions. Moving on to a story that I'm sure is close to home for a lot of people. Something that I found to be very, very interesting today that I personally am dealing with right now. And there's some confusing parts to this that I really want your guys' comments on in the chat and as well as the comments below this show when I'm done. Being reported by BuzzFeed News, I saw yesterday, a federal judge just ruled that Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, is unconstitutional. Now, that is huge news for a lot of people because this is, of course, is a very, you know, this is a wedge issue for a lot of people out there. Very emotional about this, and rightly so. But always, don't let this supersede all of the other things we want to talk about. But this is indeed an important topic that hits home for a lot of people, recognizing just how backward our system is and how healthcare is basically entirely unaffordable for most people. And to date, so far, now they will be taxing you if you simply choose not to, which is, I would say, which is what the part that's unconstitutional. Now, a federal judge in Texas, U.S. District Judge Reed O'Connor, ruled Friday night that the Affordable Care Act must be thrown out in its entirety because it is unconstitutional, he says. They claim a decision that could lead to millions of people losing their health insurance. Well, I would say that's kind of obvious, but the claims they're making are a little bit more fear-mongering because clearly with this being removed, the idea would be that they're potentially would be creating a free market for more people to come in and say, well, here's something cheap, here's something different. It's not like they're going to have nothing. But they want you to think that. But, you know, it could be the case. I'm not even going to say I know that for sure with how corrupt our system is. Now, California Attorney General Xavier Becerra and a coalition of Democratic state attorneys generals who intervened in the case to defend the Affordable Care Act are now appealing this and are likely to seek a delay of the ruling, which I believe has already happened, while they take the case up with U.S. Court of Appeals in the Fifth Circuit. Now, O'Connor did not say his ruling pending any appeal as part of his Friday night order, or stay his order. Excuse me, I'm reading what they reported. Both one saying it has to end, one saying no, we should wait on even doing anything until we get through this appeal process, which I hate because these processes can take years. So we have somebody saying, yes, it's unconstitutional, whether you agree with that or not. And then we say, well, regardless, we're not going to do anything until we can drag this out as long as possible. Maybe even until it's a new administration, a change of control in the Senate and the House. And it's frustrating to see how our politics work. Usually completely hinge on not really what matters to you, but what matters to their political agenda. And that's kind of all consuming today. Now, the article claims that if O'Connor's decision ultimately stands to deem it unconstitutional and just completely scrap it, they claim it could throw the insurance markets into chaos and return America to the days when insurance companies could refuse insurance to people with pre-existing conditions or charge them exorbitant premiums. Now, the problem is not that that was the case because the lack of Obamacare. The problem was that's the case because that's the system that they've created. In a real free market, that system wouldn't exist because people could simply start another group that says, well, guess what? Here's a cheaper insurance and we're not going to do that. And people would flock to the new system and leave this disgusting group that's you know, extorting you basically to die. That's how a free market's supposed to work. Lots of choices and you can choose for yourself. But the reality is they want you to think it's only this or that, Obamacare or everything falls apart. You'll be cheated and fraud, you know, and that's the system they've created with our insurance today. And it's alarming. Now, it's the most recent of many legal challenges to the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. And this is going to be a long, drawn-out appeal process, and that's what's going to be the most frustrating. Now, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is declaring this a victory. Paxton praised the ruling as halting an unconstitutional exertion of power by the federal government. Now, regardless of how you think this can affect things, this is something that I agree with, that you cannot tell people what they have to do in regard to something like this, especially when it costs them money. You simply cannot. That is when it becomes unconstitutional. So regardless of, because they built such a broken system and then put this on to say, well, guess what? You all have to pitch in so that we can have a fix, or not even a fix, you know, a Band-Aid on a bullet hole to this problem, that those aren't the only two things going on. This is like the left-right paradigm. This is the box that we live in. There are a number of other solutions we could use, but they don't want you to see that. He goes on to say, quote, our lawsuit seeks to effectively repeal Obamacare, which will give President Trump and Congress the opportunity to replace the failed social experiment with a plan that ensures Texans and all Americans will again have greater choice about what health coverage they need and who will be their doctor. Now, I agree with part of that, but remember, these people are doing this from a very political perspective. Repealing Obamacare is all about them progressing an agenda they believe. I highly doubt these people really care about what's best for you. But this is something I want to report to you because this is indeed an important event. I'm not even sure where I stand on this, and here's why. Now, it says, according to court documents, U.S. District Judge Reed O'Connor of Fort Worth agreed with the GOP coalition that he had to gut key provisions of the Affordable Care Act after Congress last year eliminated the individual mandate, a tax penalty for not buying insurance, which makes that sound like that's something they already took away, which I did look into the healthcare.gov website, and it does claim that after 2019 that individual tax for not having insurance was going to go away, which is quite confusing. Now, it says the Texas-led Republicans argued that they've been harmed by an explosion of people on state-sponsored insurance rolls, claiming that when Congress repealed the tax penalty last year, that repealing that tax penalty nullified the U.S. Supreme Court's rationale for deeming the ACA constitutional. Which, tell me if I'm misunderstanding this. Please comment. This is sounding like they're saying because they took away the tax penalty for those that chose not to have insurance, that deems it unconstitutional. That's what made it no longer constitutional, which seems like an entirely contradicting concept to me. Maybe I'm misunderstanding this, but that seems very confusing. But then it goes on to say DOJ attorneys urged Judge O'Connor to strike down the individual mandate. So I'm either thinking that they're misreporting this or something that I'm misunderstanding, but clearly there's more going on here. They urged him to strike down the individual mandate and pre-existing condition mandate. However, they asked the judge to spare the rest of the law, basically saying, attack this one part, but please leave it the way it is. But that's not what happened. He's saying, whole thing needs to go. It's unconstitutional. This is including Medicaid expansion, health exchanges, and employer mandate, federal health care reimbursements, and so on. Now, in their own document here, it says, actually, I forgot I was going to share this with you. I think I wanted to include that real quick. It says in this article, in the actual legal document, let me grab it real quick because it's important. I want you guys to be able to read this for yourselves. Okay. So in this document here, it says, for the reasons stated above, this is the conclusion, the court grants plaintiff's partial summary judgment and declares the individual mandate Now, mind you, the individual mandate is the part that we're talking about here. That's it, like the tax for not having insurance. It deems that unconstitutional. So am I confused here? Am I missing something where they're claiming that they already took it away? You know, see what I'm saying? And it says, further, the court declares the remaining provisions of the ACA are irreversible and therefore invalid. The court grants plaintiffs claims for declaration relief in court one and so on. But so the point that I'm getting at, and this is so ordered December 14th, it says, is that one side saying that the unconstitutional, and this is what I agree with, the tax on people who don't have insurance is wildly unconstitutional, forcing us to have to do anything in my mind. It's completely contradictory to what we believe we are in this country, even though I think we can see that that's where it already is. But nonetheless, that's what we're hearing, that it's unconstitutional. So please comment on what you think about this in the comments below the video and let me know if there's a contradiction of information here, if one side's saying one thing, maybe we're getting two sides from the left-right paradigm, that's what's confusing people. Anyway, to move on to the next part, clearly we know what's going to come next is that we have the response coming from Zero Hedge, unconstitutional disaster, Trump celebrates after judge strikes down Obamacare. Of course, you know, couldn't withstand a tweet. Now, funny enough, a lot of what he says, I kind of agree with. Doesn't mean I agree with Trump whatsoever, usually, but sometimes they do align. Now, it says the White House says that the ruling will be put on hold during the appeals process, as we expected, after California attorney Xavier Becerra indicated his coalition of Democratic attorney generals would appeal the ruling. He says, quote, today's ruling is an assault on 133 million Americans with pre-existing conditions. Again, stressing this false idea, this fallacy, that it's one or the other. Either it's Obamacare or you're screwed by our shitty system. Excuse me, I didn't mean to cuss. But that's ultimately what it is. Except the fact is, if we actually had a free market, that wouldn't be the case. That's my opinion. He goes on to say, on the 20 million Americans who rely, by the way, the system that they allowed to take place. So anyway, avoiding that point that our system's so bad, we need Obamacare. But guess who created that bad system? You guys who allowed it to happen. Goes on to say, on the 20 million Americans who rely on the ACA's consumer protections for health care and on America's faithful progress towards affordable health care for all Americans. This is in a statement talking about this whole thing. Now, in response to the ruling, of course, President Trump on Friday tweeted, as I predicted all along, Obamacare has been struck down with an unconstitutional disaster. As an unconstitutional disaster. Now Congress must pass a strong law that provides great health care and protects pre-existing conditions. Mitch and Nancy, get it done. Now, see, this is where the lie comes in, where now it's maybe even an example of problem reaction solution. Maybe that's what we're looking at right in front of us. Both sides working together behind the scenes to pass something they both want. When in reality, they should get the hell out of it. We should, and that's my opinion. I know people disagree with that. But less government for me is always better. We don't need them to do this. Have things set up, make it a free market. People go through the proper channels, can create their own insurance group or medical, whatever, which I know blows people's minds. But then in that case, you can then choose to go for whoever you want. You're not forced in any one avenue. Amazing, right? Free market. People can actually compete. Look at this guy's cheating us. Let's go to this guy. That's how it's supposed to work. Anyway. I know people are going to be upset about my even putting my opinions out there, but I wanted to report the facts to you, which was that it has been deemed unconstitutional by a judge, but they're appealing it and it's going to go on forever. And I know this splits people again right down the middle, which is exactly the point. However, it is definitely newsworthy to report on. So please share your thoughts in the chat and everything else, and I'll make sure and look at it. For the final story of the day, something that I do think is probably the most important thing going on, which I really wanted to point out, not because anything's actually happened, but because of where it's going to lead. This coming from Zero Hedge, entitled Russia's New Rules of Engagement in Syria. This is a big deal, and you'll see why. Now, Syria has adopted a new rules of engagement with Israel specifically, now that Russia has taken a tougher and clearer stance on the conflict. And this, of course, between Israel and the, you know, Axis of Resistance, that's they're calling it. Now, henceforth, Damascus, as they're reporting, will be responding to any Israeli strike. If it damages a specific military target, it will reply with a strike against a similar objective in Israel. Decision makers in Damascus said, quote, Syria will not hesitate to hit an Israeli airport if Damascus Airport is targeted and hit by Israel. This will be with the consent of the Russian military based in the Levant. That's what they're reporting. And that's a big deal. So, because Israel has been striking Syria with impunity for a very long time with the backing of the U.S. So now they're saying, look, we're done with this. We've given you a chance. If you strike anything in Syria, we will strike Israel. That is a huge, huge thing to say. Now, the Syrian political decision is based on the clear position taken by Russia in Syria following the downing of its aircraft. I think the Iliad 20 we've talked about in the past, that Israel was 100% responsible for, as far as I can tell, based on the facts at hand. Do I know that for a fact? Of course not. I don't know basically anything for a fact in our muddled world today. Now, with the facts that we can look at, it's pretty damn clear that Israel was directly responsible, and point to fact, Russia completely thinks that as well. Now, in 2015, when the Russian military landed in Syria, it informed the parties concerned, Syria, Iran, and Israel, that it had no intention to interfere in the conflict between them and Hezbollah, and that it would not stand in the way of Tel Aviv's planes bombing Hezbollah military convoys on their way to Lebanon or Iranian military warehouses, not allocated to the war in Syria. Now, this was a commitment to remain an onlooker if Israel hit Iranian military objectives or Hezbollah convoys transporting arms to Hezbollah from Syria to Lebanon within the Syrian territory. But Russia also informed Israel that it would not accept any attacks on its allies going forward. Syria, Iran, even Hezbollah and their allies engaged in fighting ISIS, Al-Qaeda and its allies. Of course, basically what they're doing. And that's again, basically drawing the line in the sand. For many months, the Russian President Vladimir Putin has actually refused to receive Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And this point, I think, puts... A lot of people think, and rightly so, there's a lot of reason to think this, that Russia is simply working hand in hand with Israel behind the scenes. And there's reasons, I think, to doubt that as well. But who ultimately knows? But this makes it seem like that may not be the case. Now, only through real harassment of the latter did Putin finally accept to briefly meet with Netanyahu over lunch or around the dinner table during a large summit or the meeting of heads of states. Without, however, accepting any compromise or reconciliation. Now, Russia has now, in fact, taken a very clear position and has no intention of extending its embrace or pardon to Israel. So they're done. Russia felt that it's basically its generosity, as they claim by closing their eyes to Israel's activities in Syria. Why they ever did, I have no idea. But they feel that that was neither recognized or sufficiently appreciated by Tel Aviv. So they're basically saying, we're done. We're done, if you believe that. And that if Israel does anything, we're going to attack Israel. Now, Russia has given Syria the green light and said, and this is according to their source, that to strike on Israel at any time, if and when Tel Aviv's planes launch raids against Syrian military targets, or actually even launch long-range missiles without flying over Syria. And this is what because they now fear their S-300s. And this is a huge development because Israel is known to lash out with even things being said like this. Oh, well, guess what? We're going to bomb you anyway. So how this moves forward is going to be a huge deal. And it's going to be tying in with Russia, with Syria, with Iran, with the United States, even the UK. And it will blow up into something much, much more dramatic. And it will be on the fault of Israel if they choose to attack anyway. And history has shown us that they most definitely do and will. So we'll be staying tuned. But as this all this other stuff is happening around us while they're dangling stories in front of us that they want us to bat at, make sure you're paying attention to what's happening everywhere else. Because as usual, even if it's not on purpose, they will use things that grab your attention to redirect you and keep you paying attention somewhere else while they're doing something over here. That is the way of the world. So please pay attention. Now, if you want to support this channel, as always, you can check us out on truthclothing.io to buy yourself a t-shirt. Oops, I had this lined up at the bottom. We have, as you guys know, the Question Everything stickers you can see behind me and all the many different things that will support this channel. If you buy a black one, a white one, or a bumper sticker, it does support us. So please check us out. Link is in the show notes. Anything else on the website you want to get, just enter Vagabond and it will also help us. As well as, you know, simply just supporting the channel on Patreon, Streamlabs, PayPal, or just sharing the damn video. Because it's clear that there's certain information that they simply just do not want getting out today. So I love you all. And of course, I also wanted to point out, and I'm interviewing Kerry Wedler shortly after this. We had a little hiccup with our time before, but we will be talking about a lot of current events and things that you'll likely be interested in hearing about. That is the editor-in-chief of the Anti-Media. Someone that I'm really looking forward to talking to. And of course, if you want to make sure to get a notification before the video, as they so often fail to do, sign up for the Wire app, wire.com. Search The Last American Vagabond, join the group, and you will get a notification before each show. All right. I love you all. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.